The following is a presentation from Mount Greylock Baptist Church. Mount Greylock Baptist is a Bible-based church located in North Adams, Massachusetts. For more resources, please visit our website, mountgreylockbaptist.com.
Acts chapter 20, our theme verse for these four messages has been Acts chapter 20 and verse 20. So I'm going to read that, and then we're going to move down in the text to verse 28. And we'll read down through verse 35. So verse 20 of chapter 20, Paul said, "And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house." So that's been our theme, house to house. That's been our campaign, our bus campaign, going house to house, inviting young children and teenagers and adults to ride in on our bus, so that they could come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, handing out gospel tracts, letting people know that Mount Greylock Baptist Church is here. We do that because that's one of the patterns that we find in the Bible, to go from house to house. Very few churches today go from house to house anymore. But that was part of the New Testament church, and that's why we do it. And in fact, we'll be going out again on Saturday morning. If you'd like to go with us, we'll leave at 9:30. And it's not hard to do. You knock on a door, you hand them an invitation, and we have kids right here today. We have adults in our congregation today because we've gone house to house and just invited them to come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that's the way they did it in the early church. That's been our theme verse. But now let's pick it up again in verse number 28. So, and remember, just to kind of bring you up to speed, the Apostle Paul is on his way to Rome, and to Jerusalem, and he wants to meet with the church leaders from the church in Ephesus, and these are some final thoughts that he has for them. So again, in verse 28, he says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" Let's pray. Father, I ask that you bless now the preaching of the word. Use me as your instrument and use me as your vessel. Despite my own faults and failures, my own weaknesses, thank you for the privilege, thank you for the honor, thank you for the calling that you placed upon my life to stand behind this pulpit and to preach the unsearchable riches of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Lord, I need your help this morning. I need you to guide each word I say. I need you to help us to have listening ears, that you'd just help us to block out the cares of the week that we've just experienced and the week ahead. And just for these next several minutes, that you'd speak to us in a very special way. That, Holy Spirit, you'd move in a very great way. Open our eyes. Touch our hearts. And Lord, if there be one here today that is without Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray, Holy Spirit, you'd bring conviction to their heart, the reality of their need of a Savior, the reality of their sin. And today they'd be gloriously saved. But we ask it in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. So we started out this series of sermons dealing with, first, the place of fellowship. We talked about the local church. And then I preached you also in that same message that laid out in the book of Acts, not only here but elsewhere, is the pattern for ministry. And also we saw here the passion that Paul had for souls, for people to come to know Christ as their Savior. And then we zeroed in on verse 24, and I took that verse and preached an entire message out of that verse, the importance of being steadfast and being sincere, being successful, being satisfied, and to be serving. And then 2 weeks ago, I guess it was, we talked about a number of other things. We talked about the responsibility of the man of God. We talked about the fact that we have a ruthless enemy. That is Satan, of course. And then we talked about the fact that the Word of God is rewarding. But today I want to preach to you on the topic that we find here, specifically in verse number 35. Where at the very end of the verse, the writer of Acts, Luke, records these words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And reminds us that Christ said these words. That Christ said, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." So that's the theme of the message this morning. But I want it to be this way. It's not so much a message with regards to tithing, as much it is a message regards to the spirit of giving. In other words, giving is just not about giving monetarily. That's part of it. And I've often used the three T's. The idea of having a spirit of giving with regards to our time, with regards to our talents, and truly with regards to our treasures. So that's the gist of this message. For you and I to think about the fact that the Lord is teaching us, the Lord is reminding us how important it is for us to have a spirit of giving and to recognize that. Now, this is an interesting verse because these words that are quoted here where Luke says, it is more, and Luke is quoting actually the Apostle Paul, Paul says, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Those words are not found in the Gospels. You won't find those words in the book of Matthew. You won't find them in the book of Mark. You won't find them in the book of Luke. And you won't find them in the Gospel of John. It's interesting because here it's being quoted that Jesus said these things. So let's just as a side note be reminded of this, that not everything that Jesus said is recorded in the Gospels. Not everything that Jesus did is recorded in the Gospels. Not every miracle is recorded in the Gospels. Not every sermon that he preached is recorded in the Gospels. In fact, in the last book of the book of John, in the last verse of the verse of John, the Bible says something like this, that if everything could be recorded that Jesus ever did and Jesus ever said, that the world could not hold the books that would need to be recorded to record all of that. But apparently along the way, as Jesus ministered, he must have said this time and time and time again. And so they were mindful of that, and we find it here. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Now, three things, and if you look on your handout, these are the 3 points I want to give you this morning, and we'll get into these. Number one, we're going to preach to you this morning about that giving recognizes the source. Of all that we have, whether it's our time, whether it's our talents, whether our treasures, where's the source of all of that? What's the fountainhead of all of that? And then on the back, in a few minutes, we'll talk about giving recognizing our sincerity and that giving recognizes the Savior. But I started with a quote that's well over 100 years old by a man, a Bible commentator by the name of Adam Clark. And I'm going to read this out loud. Just read it on your handout as I read it. He said this, because it's really a different time in our history, a different attitude in our history. But he said this, "Let therefore the man who is able to give feel himself the obliged person and think how much pain the feeling heart of his supplicant must endure in being obliged to forgo his native independence, in soliciting and receiving the bounty of another." Do you understand what he's saying? He's saying, the one who has the opportunity to give, you're the one that should feel the most obliged to give. And that you should think about the fact that you have that privilege and that opportunity, but the one that you're giving to, however you're helping, they're in need. They don't have the same grace, the same ability, the same power that you have. And he wanted us to be mindful of the fact that it was God that enabled you to do this. Just as if you're on the receiving end, you receive with a gracious spirit because God enables you to receive graciously. So let's talk about a couple of things here. Number one, giving, it recognizes the source. The Apostle Paul, look what he said in verse 35. He said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring, you ought to support the weak. Labor. It's important to work. Amen? I mean, we live in an age today that it's an entitlement age. And that's what I kind of meant about the idea of Adam Clark's quote. It's like today, and it bothers me, I mention it often, everybody seems to want something for free. But you know what? That's not a Bible principle. A Bible principle is that you need to go out and you need to work. You need to labor. That you need to put forth effort. And really, the Bible has a lot to say about laziness. And there's a word in the Bible that the Bible uses. It's the word sluggard. But the word itself, sluggard. Just think of the word sluggard. I don't think it has anything to do with a slug. But, you know, a slug is just kind of slow. No. We don't need to be that. We need to be workers and laboring. Because you see, the source of our ability to labor, the source of our talents to labor, and the source of our treasures that we gain from laboring, and the source of whatever talents that God has given us, the source is God. This comes from God. And so we have to take what God has given us, and then to bring honor and glory to Him, we have to use it for His honor and for His glory. When we did a study in the book of Ecclesiastes a couple of winters ago, Solomon speaks often about this. Look on your handout, Ecclesiastes chapter 2 and verse 24. He said that there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. And then he went on and he said this, this also I saw that it was from the hand of God. Well, what was from the hand of God? His labor. And that which was produced from his labor. God is the source. Paul was a laborer. He not only labored spiritually, preaching the word of God, but there were times when Paul lacked support, and he just went to work making tents. In fact, if you just back up a little bit, he said this in verse number 33. He said, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. And ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. In Paul's ministry, there were times where he had financial support and he could devote all of his time to the preaching of the gospel. But there were other times that he lacked that support, and then he was a tent maker. He just worked and he supported himself. And if he had to do that, he did that. But he understood the importance of laboring. And you and I need to understand the importance of that as well. And whatever you do for a living, God has given you the ability to do that. I remember I was never so disappointed some years ago that a man in our church who had been in our church for quite some while, and he was out of work, and we began to pray that he'd get a job, and there was a job that opened up to him. And I'll never forget. In fact, I'm still friendly with this man. I still encourage him to come to church. In fact, I saw him fairly recently. But I'll never forget the day we came down to the altar, my hand over his shoulder. We prayed that he would get that job. And the next day he got that job, and that's the last time he ever came to church. And I reminded him of that, and he kind of hangs his head. He says, yeah, I know. And what a shame. God answered his prayer, but he never honored God with the answering of his prayer. It's like the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, and only one returned to give Jesus thanks. And one day, and I hope that he knows the Lord, I trust that he does, he's going to have to stand before God and give an answer for that. But laboring, it's a gift of God. We have all different types of occupations and all different types of talents in our church, physical talents, occupational talents, and spiritual talents. These all come from God. That's the source. The ability to work. The ability to serve. Look on your handout again, Ecclesiastes 5:15 and 16. Again, Solomon said, and as he came forth of his mother's womb. And by the way, let me just stop there. If you've never read the book of Ecclesiastes, it's a great book. It's one of my favorite books in the Bible. Because Ecclesiastes looks from the top. If it was a pyramid, it would be the point. Solomon was the wealthiest man in the world, and he had everything. And he's looking down, and he's looking at people who are trying to aspire to get to where he is. Everything. And he says this over and over again. It's all just vanity. He came to realize that later in life. It's all just vanity if that's all it's about. So he kind of says that in chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. He came forth, as he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor which he may carry away in his hand. Which when we die, we're not taking anything with us. Amen? You know, the old member in our Sunday school class this morning, Pastor Ethan showed a picture of Brother Ainsworth, our founding pastor. He used to always say, you've never seen a U-Haul behind a hearse. I mean, it wasn't new with him. You know, he just, but it's true, right? I said, the only thing that you can bring with you to heaven is souls. You can share your faith with people, and they'll get saved, and they'll go to heaven. But let me read on here. So he says, he shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. And this also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind? In other words, he's saying this. He's not knocking labor, but if you're just laboring for this world and for this life, it might as well, you might as well be laboring for the wind. There's no point in it. It's just for your own self-gratification. And you're failing to recognize the source. Next month, it's my... Oh, Davis, next month, it's my favorite holiday. Thanksgiving. It's the best. I love... My wife says, yeah, that's because you do nothing but eat, she said. And I said, yeah, you're probably right about that. But I love Thanksgiving. And so I was reminded, I was putting this message together of the Thanksgiving proclamation of William Bradford. And it takes us back to another era, back in the 1600s in Bradford. On your handout, I wrote just the introduction. And right from the start, they recognized the source of their bounty. In which Bradford said, inasmuch as the great Father has given us an abundant harvest of Indian corn and wheat, and peas, and beans, and squashes, and garden vegetables, and made the forest to abound with game, and the sea with fish and clams. I want to know why we do not have clams on Thanksgiving. That's what I want to know. Amen? Amen. Very traditional. My wife in here? But you recognize what Bradford recognized, that this came from God. Now, why do they give thanks to God? We go all the way back to the Old Testament. Keep your finger here. We'll come back in a minute. But way back to the book of Leviticus. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. That's where we're headed. Third book of the Old Testament. Leviticus chapter number 23. I just want you to see this. In the Jewish economy, they were taught to give thanks to God. In fact, there was four major times that they were to really do this. A couple of them were of a national origin, and a couple of them were of a more personal origin. But here's the instruction that God gave them as they were entering into the promised land in Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 9. The Bible says, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye be come into the land which I give unto you, and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye shall bring a sheaf of first fruits of your harvest unto the priest, and he shall wave the sheaf before the Lord to be accepted for you. On the morrow after the Sabbath, the priest shall wave it. So you understand this. Let's just say they gathered wheat, and from what I read, they'd bundle it together. And part of what they would do, before they even partook of that harvest, they would take that and they would lift it up before God. And they would, normally they'd lift it up to the east, they'd lift it up to the west, to the north, and to the south. And really it was just symbolic of recognizing that all that they had gained in the harvest, that it had come from God. In other words, they were recognizing the source. And so we're to be mindful of that, that the source of our treasures, the source of our talents, the source of all that we have, our time, it all comes from God. Redeeming the time, the Bible says. You go back to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 20. Redeeming the time. God's given us time. You know, I was very encouraged this morning. We had a number, quite a few actually, of people in Sunday school who don't normally come to Sunday school. Thank you for coming. But you had to give up some time. Not really giving up, to be honest with you. Whenever you're spending time with God, you're not giving up anything. You're always gaining something. Amen? That's the way it works. You gain something. And I know sometimes when people, they work late and, and sometimes, you know, it's just a sacrifice. And I always thought, listen, I didn't get saved until I was 24 years old. I lived a wicked life before I got saved. I would be up to all hours of the night and then I'd go to work the next day. And it's just my thing. This may not be your thing, but I've always thought when I'm tired and I've been up late and I've gotten less sleep than I need, man, I used to do that for the devil. If I did it for the devil, I can certainly do it for God. I mean, how much really is an hour of sleep? But that's got to be between you and God. And I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about that. I'm just trying to remind you that every hour, listen, every second, every minute, every hour, every week, every month, every year, it's a gift from God. Time that God gives us. Time. That's the source. But now we move on to its recognition of our sincerity. So look at verses 32 and 34 again. And now, brethren, I commend to you God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. Again, he said, I coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. You yourselves know, he said, that these hands, they've ministered unto my necessities. In other words, he's saying, listen, there were times where I wasn't being financially supported in the ministry, so I just went to work. What he's saying is it's just proof that he wasn't a hireling. He wasn't only doing it to get paid. Whether they were able to pay him or whether they weren't able to pay him, he was still going to minister for the Lord because he was sincere. And you and I, when we recognize that, we think about the fact that Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When we're ready to have a spirit of giving, our time, our talents, and our treasures, it really shows the sincerity of our faith. It shows the sincerity of our faith. Look on your handouts on the back here, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 and 8. So the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth. And he reminds them of something. Even before I read this, the historian Josephus tells us that in this time in which this was written, there was a great famine. In fact, in Acts chapter 11, I think it's verse 28, it's called, the prophet Agabus, I believe it was, said that there would be a great dearth throughout the land. The word dearth, it means that there was a famine. And so Josephus, who was not a believer, but Josephus records this in his history. Josephus, for those of you that don't know, was a Greek historian, and he recorded much of history of that time. But he said what began in Rome, and then it spread to Greece, and then it went into the areas of Judea. And so the believers that were in Jerusalem were experiencing a famine. And so Paul was trying to encourage the other believers that were not experiencing the famine to take up an offering and send it to Jerusalem. And so he's reminding them of that here. And he says in 2 Corinthians, he says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Well, what grace? The grace of giving. The grace of it is more blessed to give than to receive. In other words, listen, you have brothers and sisters in Christ back in Jerusalem. They're starving. They need you to give. You know, it's been said that in America, or Americans, I guess I should say, are one of the most generous people in the world, and I think that we are. Something happens in a country, a foreign country, and the first to respond are Americans. We're very generous people. That doesn't come out of nowhere. That comes from our Judeo-Christian heritage, because we as a people have learned it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so Paul writes this to them here. And he goes on and look what he says. I speak not by commandment. He says, I'm not ordering you to do this. It's like giving a church. No one's ever going to come to you and grab you by the collar and say, well, you can't come if you don't give. He says, I speak not by commandment, but he says, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and he says, to prove the sincerity of your love. You just want to know how much you love the Lord, he's saying. It's proof of your sincerity. Because, he says, remember, Jesus said, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So an act, it is an act of our sincerity, an act of our honest faith. Remember what Jesus said? Some of you know this verse. Help me with it. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So he says, I'm not commanding you to do this. You just do this sincerely. You do this, in fact, if we were to turn there, he'd say, he would say, do it willingly. Like when they built in the Old Testament, if we had time, I could take you back to when David was allowed to collect all of the material to build the first temple. And David commends the Israelites because they said they were willing of themselves. In fact, they were so willing that David finally had to say, stop giving. We've got enough. Because they understood the source of what they had. And they understood it was more blessed to give than it was to receive. In 1 John 3:17 it says, but whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, well, how dwells the love of God in him? And so people have all kinds of needs. People have spiritual needs. Well, we can put an arm around someone and just spend some time and pray with them. Well, I don't have time to do that. Let me give you another quote from Pastor Ainsworth, since I was thinking about him earlier today. Whenever anything like that came up, and he would use that example, well, I don't have time to do this and I don't have time to do that. And he said, well, then I guess you're just too busy. You need to stop doing a few things so you have some time to serve the Lord. And, you know, we live, it's crazy, isn't it? We have all the modern conveniences in this world. In fact, I heard this past week, a Jewish man turned 113 years old. And he had his bar mitzvah at 113 years old. But I was thinking back, and I was talking to Ethan, and I was saying, that's 1903. And Ethan said, yeah, just think of all the changes. I said, all the changes in transportation. And then I thought, just in our own life, just think of the last 25 years. What that man saw in the changes in transportation in his lifetime, we in the last 25 years have seen the same change, not in transportation so much, but in information. I mean, when I started in the ministry, you had to wait to get your missions letter from your missionaries, and by the time you got a missionary prayer letter from, say, Africa or a third world country, a month had passed by. They'd ask you to pray for something, and let's say you got the letter in August, they were asking you to pray for something in July. But today, they'll push a button, and whatever their prayer request is today, we know what their prayer request is. And so I'm saying that because we live in such convenient times, but it seems like no one has any time. We've just taken all that other time, and we're using it up. And I certainly believe in staying busy, and what was that old saying? I think it was Ben Franklin said, idle hands are the devil's workshop. And I think it's good to be busy. But we got to make sure that we've got time to be busy for the Lord too. Amen. That was a weak amen, I'll tell you what. But Paul said, listen, I'm not commanding you to do this, but it just proves your sincerity. So, yeah, people have physical needs. We can help them with those. People, and we have. I commend you as a church. There's been different things that we've done for different people at different times to help them with physical needs. And their spiritual needs. Like I just said earlier, but you just praying with someone or praying for someone. And sometimes we don't even realize that sometimes people don't even realize that other people are praying for them. Did you ever think about that? If somebody's praying for you, that they've taken time out of their busy life and set that time aside, and they're probably not praying for their own needs, but they are praying for you. They're giving you that time. You ever think of it that way? People have all kinds of needs. And God's the source of our time. God's the source of our treasures. God's the source of our talents. People have emotional needs that only you and I can help them with. When we went to Belarus on a missions trip years ago, the only way those missionaries could stay in Belarus is once a week they had this trailer full of clothes and medicine that Americans sent to them. They had to open up the back of the trailer and give it to the Belarusians. That was the only way the government would let them stay there. Technically, they were there on humanitarian cause, not spiritual causes. These are needs. When we give, it just proves the sincerity of our love. Our missionaries, the Allens, for instance, in Papua New Guinea, they have an entire medical center set up. Mrs. Allen's a nurse, they have a medical compound, and the Papua New Guineans come in and they take care of them medically, but then they also take care of them spiritually. People have needs. People have needs. Last Sunday night, our missionary to Connecticut, starting a church, the Lafreniers. Abby Lafrenier is dying. In fact, that's the wife of John Lafrenier. And they started this church a couple of years ago. She was dying then. And we were thrilled to read a missions letter this past summer. They had VBS. I think they had 60 kids in the Vacation Bible School. And she's dying. And they've given their whole life to start that church. And I got a letter from their sending pastor, and he said, Abby and John have no money for the funeral. If you're a church that's willing to help them with the funeral, just let me know. In fact, this week we had an offering come in. Someone gave, after I mentioned that last Sunday night, that at some point in the future, Abby is going to go home to be with the Lord. Our sister in Christ. And I'll be mentioning that to you. They need money for the funeral. Would you give? And because you see, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And it proves the sincerity of who we are. The sincerity of our faith. Sometimes people need a ride. One of our young men that rides in on the bus, I'm just going to kind of put this out now. I wasn't going to do this, but one of our young men, Alan Brazzo, who's been coming for years, and he's a little bit challenged. I don't mean that. That's just how he is. He's a good kid. But he's been taken out of his home, and now he lives in Pittsfield, and he wants to come to church. A social worker called, and his place where he's staying, they'll get him to Adams. If somebody could pick him up in Adams and bring him to church. Sometimes, I don't really know if I want to do that. It means that I might have to wait for the social worker to come back and pick. Yeah, that might be. But Jesus says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. See, it all works in different ways. Our friends, the Stascos, who used to be members of our church, I saw them at Tally's wedding, and they've been involved in digging wells in Africa. There's no drinking water. We all take that for granted. We go home, we'll turn on our water, and there's water. Places in Africa, they have no drinking water. People will walk for miles and miles and miles to get fresh water. And John's sister's been involved in developing wells there. And so the people come, they draw their water, but then they preach the gospel to them. Because they understood it was more blessed to give than it was to receive. Because it proves the sincerity of our love for Christ, and it also recognizes the source of all we have. And then lastly, giving recognizes the Savior. Again, look at verse 35. I've showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Savior. He's the captain of our faith. He's the example. He's the first fruits. It helps us when we give to recognize Jesus, who gave everything for you and me. Everything. I like that old quote that says, he gave up all of his rights for all of our wrongs. Wow. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He gave it all for you and I. I thought of a missionary story I read some weeks ago, or actually months ago, I guess now. Two missionaries that gave it all. They're in South Africa. There was a leper colony in South Africa. You weren't allowed into the leper colony. Once you went into the leper colony, you could never come out of the leper colony, because leprosy, of course, is so contagious. But these two men had such a burden. I think they were Dutch. They had such a burden to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to that leper colony that they walked across the line knowing that they would go into the leper colony, they would both come down with leprosy at some point, and they would both die. And they could never return from that leper colony. And they went into that leper colony, they gave it all, and they preached the gospel, and untold dozens of lepers came to know Christ as their Savior. Because they understood what Jesus said. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Because they understood the source of their ability was God. And you and I need to understand that. The source of all we have is God. We need to understand that when we give, it recognizes our true sincerity. And when we give, we're recognizing that the Savior gave it all. That's really the strongest argument of all. That the Savior gave it all. That he became poor, that you and I might become rich. And if you're here today and you have never received Christ as your Savior, I want you to understand that God, that Jesus Christ has given it all for you. He hung on a cross 2,000 years ago. And for those of you that have already received Christ, I want you to be reminded of the fact that he gave his all for you. He hung on that cross, his blood was shed, your sin was all placed upon him. He died to pay for your sin. He gave it all that you and I might have eternal life. And if you're here and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, I want you to know he loves you, he cares for you, he died for you, he was buried for you, and he rose from the dead for you. And he'll save you this morning if you'll call upon him by faith. But you must call upon him by faith. If you're here and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, you're lost. And you're on your way to a Christless eternity. You have no hope. But Christ is our hope. And Jesus, and the Apostle Paul reminds us here, it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. So I want to challenge you this morning. You think about your time, you think about your talents, you think about your treasures. Are you always in a receive mode, or are you ready to be a giver? Are you ready to give some of your time this week to the Lord? Are you ready to take your talents and use them for the Lord? Are you ready to take some of your treasures and use them for the Lord? You know, he doesn't even ask for it all. The spirit of giving is the spirit of Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Can you bow your head for a word of prayer? This morning, if you're here and you've never asked Christ to be your Savior, listen, you need to get saved. And I'm trusting and I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is bringing conviction to your heart. And if you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm not sure, but I want to be sure. I want to be sure this morning. Would you just do this? And I'm not going to point you out or come to you or call out your name, but if you said, Pastor, I want to be sure, just slip up your hand and put it down. I'm not sure that I'm saved this morning. I'm not sure that I know Christ in a personal way like that. I understand now he's given it all, and I want to receive him as my Savior. And then for you who have already received Christ, I gave you the challenge. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I mean, just let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. You might say, well, you know, I give, but I never get back. We don't give to get back. We give for the glory of God. Well, I've done this and I've done that. Have you? None of us have done it all. We've all fallen short. None of us have given all of our time, all of our talents, and all of our treasures as God would have us to. None of us. Well, I should. No. When you got saved, you became a bond slave of Jesus Christ. You just operated his will. Well, I don't think that's fair. Well, you're fortunate that God is not fair with us, because if God was fair with us, all of us should die and go to hell. Well, I don't think it's right. Well, that's because you have a carnal attitude. You see, all of those are all about you. This is all supposed to be all about Jesus. The whole life is supposed to be all about Jesus. Father, I pray that you'd help us to remember these words, that they would penetrate our hearts. It is more blessed to give than to receive. That we take these words with us, and by your grace and power, we live these words. And that we would realize then, when we have that other attitude of expecting, that we rob ourselves of the blessing of giving. Now bless the invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for this broadcast. We hope that the message was an encouragement to you. If you are nearby, please consider being our guest this Sunday. For more information about Mount Greylock Baptist Church, or for answers about what it means to be a Christian, please contact us. We would love to hear from you. You can find more resources online at mountgreylockbaptist.com.